My name is Wolfie Landstreicher, and I've been involved in anarchist activities since about 1978. Probably people who have any familiarity with me have it mostly from Venomous Butterfly Publications, Willful Disobedience, which was a magazine I did for a while. As I already mentioned to the interviewer, I'm not really used to being interviewed, so I'm hoping he can ask me some questions that'll help me say more.
Sure. Can you talk a bit more about Venomous Butterfly and Willful Disobedience?
Yes. Venomous Butterfly Publications and Willful Disobedience I started doing after I'd made a trip to Italy and had some very interesting discussions with anarchists there who'd translated some of my columns from Anarchy, and felt like there was a certain spirit or tone to their ideas that I thought needed to come into the United States, maybe to move the way people did things in a different direction. Those ideas tend to get labeled insurrectionary anarchism. The people in Italy told me very specifically that the only reason that label exists as such is because of the anarchists of the Federazione Anarchista Italiana, who tend to be very much the type who say you have to wait to struggle until there is a mass struggle going on, whereas these other anarchists who got labeled insurrectionary anarchists say, no, we do not wait. Our struggle, our battle against the social order is in our lives here and now, and we need to be fighting against authority every day in our lives. And so I decided I wanted... these ideas were already how I thought about things, but that inspired me to kind of try and make those ideas available to more people within the anarchist milieu, largely. And so I started putting out Willful Disobedience, first as a very small, like, handwritten zine for the first 2 or 3 years, and then kind of as a more refined-looking zine later on. And Venomous Butterfly Publications was... the idea was I wanted to actually get some of the pamphlets that they had available in Italian, and I started teaching myself Italian so I could translate some of these things and get them out. And the name Venomous Butterfly Publications, actually, it's taken from a poem written by the anarchist Renzo Novatore, who was very active throughout World War I and into the early 1920s, until he got killed in a shootout with the cops in Italy. And in one of his poems, he talks about the venomous butterfly, and I love that. And used it as the name for that project.
And this publication, like Venomous Butterfly, Willful Disobedience, are related for a lot of people who know these publications under this current called insurrectionary anarchism. Can you talk a bit more about this?
Okay,
particular way to be anarchist?
As I see it, insurrectionary anarchism is, first and foremost, as I said, about continually fighting the forces of authority in your life every day. And it's about finding the ways to do that are consistent with what you're doing, that can interweave with the struggles of other people who may not have all of your same critique, but who are also fighting authority in their lives, and so on. And so some of the basic factors end up being in the methodology you use. Like, if you're an insurrectionary anarchist, you want a methodology that is about being in perpetual conflict with the state. And that means you never negotiate with the state. You don't involve yourself with parties or unions or organizations that ultimately do aim to negotiate with the state. You remain autonomous from those sorts of groups, and you maintain an attitude of perpetual conflict with every form of authority rather than seeking a bit of peace or some way to get away from that. And those would be the basic methodological aspects, basic ways of going about things. And then that means that when, say, larger scale social struggles happen, most of which will involve a lot of people who are quite willing to make compromises, you enter into those struggles with the integrity of maintaining that method and with the recognition that you go along with those struggles only insofar as they are maintaining an attitude of full conflict and non-negotiation with the state. And when they start moving towards negotiation, you go on with your own struggle without accepting that negotiation, without compromising what you're doing. So, and to me, like, that part of being able to move away and go along your own path is really one of the most important aspects, because it can be easy to just get caught up in a mass struggle and then realize, wait, we've now gone to a place that I never wanted to go, and there's starting to be negotiation with the state.
Can you give examples of struggles in this form of insurrectionary anarchists without compromise, without negotiation?
Are you thinking of things in the United States or...
United States or other places?
Because I would say, to me, on the large scale, I can't think of much recently in the United States, because the United States, even the anarchist milieu, is so politicized that, struggles without compromise have mostly been individual struggles. There were a few of us who... Well, there was a situation a few years ago where truckers who did truck driving for the ports along the west coast of the United States, these truckers have no union, and a lot of them are immigrants, some of them undocumented immigrants, and so they didn't have a way of actually working through the system, but they had these strikes all up and down the coast. And it was an interesting thing, because they also were not just talking about the personal aspects of their trucking experience. They were also, refusing to have anything to do with any ships that were carrying arms for the Iraqi war and so on. So they were, and their signs would talk about being anti-war as well. But it was an interesting event, and there were some anarchists and some other revolutionaries who were, going out to talk with these people and to find ways that their struggles could interweave. And it was interesting for a while, but ultimately the group started moving towards wanting to create a union. And then they started moving more in the direction of negotiation, and the anarchists I knew who had been trying to interact with them started to move away, because it's like, okay, this is now moving towards working within the system. And it's one of the really hard questions, when there isn't a large-scale insurrectionary situation going on and there's these smaller struggles, the question is, what sort of effect did we have when we went out and talked to these people? And I'm not really sure. And it's a question, for me as an anarchist, survival is not the first priority, but for most workers it actually is, so that at a certain point they start moving back towards figuring out how to maintain themselves within what exists. But I'd say during the first part of that, there was this feeling of being uncompromising, and I think even among the people on the strike. And it's just, as time went on, it's like, no, we need to survive, we need to go on.
Sometimes a critic that the people involved in anarchist practices, makes about insurrectionary anarchist or anarcho-individualist, or not because it's the same, it's not the same, sure, but like the individualization of the struggles and the like the small communities involved in that kind of struggles makes that the struggles can spread, and it's why sometimes people talk more about the necessity of mass struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because they want to make like leftist struggles and just negotiate with the government and push pressure on the government, but they also think that a revolutionary or an insurrection cannot be created or cannot spread without this mass struggle.
Well, you know, the way I see that, and this is based to some extent on looking at history, is that when you come at this question thinking of it in terms of mass struggle, I see the problem of it then, the anarchists point, or anarchists then tend to take on the idea of bringing the answer to the masses, and you start getting this evangelistic thing, which I think then sets up a situation where, whether you want it or not, the anarchists are taking on a leadership role and actually, without being aware of it, encouraging the aspects psychologically within people to remain followers. And for me, it's like, I feel like, and I don't see this as an easy thing to carry on, but I feel like starting from individual struggle and then seeing it more in terms of meeting other individuals who may not share all your ideas, and having that more flower out as a branching out of individuals associating voluntarily and ideas being shared more, like being shared, and being shared means I don't assume I have all the answers, even though there are certain things I'm clear about that I want for my life. So I come, I'll tell people what I think and listen to what they say they think, no matter who they are, and have it more, not so much going to the mass, but having like this branching out among individuals. And to me, it's just, I see that as the only way that a struggle can grow that's going to actually carry within it what I as an anarchist desire, by teaching, or not even so much teaching people, but by people learning on their own from how they're going about their struggles, how to actually not be led and not be obedient. And you know, that's why, like, to me, I rarely use the term mass. I will talk about large-scale struggles, and because ideally for me, the individuals in those large-scale struggles don't end up becoming a mass as such.
Yeah, like mass is more like alienated people, like a mass, like mm-hmm. massified people by the consumer society or by the mm-hmm. industrial society, like the, a lot of like the critical theory, or I don't know how to call this in English, theory critique from the Frankfurt School and from other who was talking about the mass society, mm-hmm. like the mass is a concept alienated, and is the people alienated by the fact of the states and the capitalism and mm-hmm. how they are they have like heterogeneous interest at the beginning and the heterogeneous lives, but they becomes more and more homogeneous mm-hmm. by the television, by the spectacles, by
yes. Yes. Yeah. So thinking
ads and
yeah, and yeah, that's where, even though this is a word that especially among anarchists in the English language has taken on connotations I don't like, I nonetheless appreciate the use some people have made of the term collectivity, because to me, when I hear that word, I think more of people who recognize their individuality and who recognize that they are not all one thing, choosing to come together for specific purposes, as opposed to a mass, which is people who've kind of forgotten their individuality, just being together, like you say, often being made that way precisely due to alienating forces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And but if we think about large-scale struggles during the past years, what is the struggles around the world who are most interested you?
I know I found many aspects of what I heard about the struggle against the TAV, the high-speed train in northern Italy, very interesting. There were many aspects of that seemed to have very very strong and fierce, fierce battle against the authorities. I know there were also many aspects of that where politicians were wheedling their way in and taking it over, and at this point, that part of it seems ultimately to have dominated it, and at this point, therefore, to have led to basically a defeat where the high-speed train is going to go through, not necessarily through the original valley they planned on, but this is what happens when you start letting politicians get in and they make agreements and such. But there seem to have been many aspects, especially in the early part of that, that were very interesting. And it's also, to me, really interesting that the large-scale movement there happened after there had been more, like, individual actions that were carried out for years in that region, that apparently people felt sympathetic with.
And here in North America, like in the United States, because you live there, or in Canada, what struggles are very interesting for you?
Right now in the United States, it's hard for me to name any. In a certain symbolic way, when some people from the Lakota Nation down there claimed some territory and said that they were declaring themselves an independent nation, that was on a symbolic level interesting to me, but it really didn't have a lot to back it up beyond that symbolic level, and I haven't seen it spark anything beyond that. Here in Canada, definitely a lot of the indigenous struggles seem to go in very interesting directions, and because of that, there's been a lot of interesting things that have come out in the way people think, like the fact that there are specifically people who call themselves indigenous anarchists here and who have an analysis of class as it manifests within the various indigenous tribes and nations. And I find that particularly interesting because it shows that there is not this homogeneity within those groups, and they're not going to pretend there is. Now, I appreciate that. And it seems like anarchists in Canada many of them have found interesting ways to interact with that.
Can you just add the reference for people who want to be more informed about this perspective is yours, or the perspective you are interested by? Like, if the people want to be more informed about insurrectionary anarchist or anarchist ideas, anarchist practice, which ways to be informed you will give?
First, I'm going to say that Venomous Butterfly as such is not going anymore, because I'm changing how I do my projects, and I'm doing it under the name of Vagabond Publications. And that has, I can give you a mailbox address for that. I'll give it twice, just so people will actually hear it. And that is 3527 Northeast 15th Avenue, number 144, Portland, Oregon, 97212, USA. Again, that's 3527 Northeast 15th Avenue, number 144, Portland, Oregon, 97212, USA. And I will continue to have most of the venomous butterfly stuff available at that address as well. So that would be the best way to get in touch with me. You can also get in touch with me for stuff relating to that at acraticus@gmail.com, and acraticus is spelled acraticus, and that's at gmail.com. And those are the best ways to get in touch with me, and I actually check my paper mail more than my email because I don't like computers.
And you can also just go on a research site in the internet and find well-filled disobedience and venomous butterfly.
Yes.
You have some publications.
Yes. Other people have put up websites with my stuff on them, and because I didn't put them up, I don't remember their URLs, but if you do a search for Willful Disobedient or Venomous Butterfly Publications, yeah, they will come up.
Or you can go on InfoShop Library, Anarchist Libraries. Most of the times you will find a Willful and Striker publication or Venomous Butterfly publications or Willful Disobedience and others publications like that.
Yes. And also check into Elephant Editions, because they have a lot of very worthwhile things relating to insurrectionary anarchism as well.